World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, folks. What is it, November 21st, 2017? The Lord's not making another one. In fact, tomorrow is JFK Day, November 22nd, 1963. What would that be, guys? 54 years? 54 years after Kennedy was mowed down? 54 years ago tomorrow? That was really, really an impactful time in my life. And I was, I think I've told you guys this. My birthday's the 26th. So I was coming upon my 11th birthday when Kennedy was killed. I was in the fifth grade. One of those things, you know, they say that everybody remembers where they were that day when Kennedy was killed. I remember it vividly. And then it was about the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. I can't remember. First time I ever went to Dallas and stood in Dealey Plaza and saw where that whole thing took place. And this will sound crazy. It was almost like a spiritual experience for me because my whole life I'd studied the assassination. And when I was 11 years old, I memorized the entire John F. Kennedy inaugural address. Ask God what your country can do for you. I was infatuated with it. It was a really, really important time and part of my life. And when I stood there at Dealey Plaza the first time and I saw the trap that they drove him into. Those of you who've never been to Dealey Plaza, God, it's small, not big at all. And once you go there and you know, we know about him coming down Elm Street, turning, heading down. And when you see that they literally drove him into an ambush, you'll get a better feeling for it. See where the school book depository was. Now we know that whole story was bogus. That's tomorrow. I believe it was the day the music died. Remember Don McLean, Bye Bye Miss American Pie? I believe that November 22nd, 1963 was the day America died. It probably had been on life support much before that. We didn't realize it, but you know, you go back and you study the history of Kennedy and the Federal Reserve. We're going to get into that at some point here too. The Federal Reserve and the CIA. You know, he wanted to bust the He threatened to bust the CIA into 1,000 pieces. I don't know if you guys know that before his assassination. And it would seem to me that 1963 was probably, as far as we know in our lifetime, the first expose of the deep state. And so they took out Kennedy, whoever. Yeah, Kennedy was killed. America changed. And from that point on, it was the shadow government that's been in control. And I'll remember, never forget, I saw an interview of Bill Clinton. And when they asked him what surprised him the most when he became president of the United States, and his answer was really kind of, I mean, it was kind of right there. He says, well, the thing that surprised me the most was how little control the president actually had. So, you know, we think of Trump walks into that situation 54 years later and how deep and ugly and messy that whole thing must be. And there's a lot of rumors swirling around out there now in regards to what's going on at Langley Air Force Base, that the Marines have been dispatched there because there's a big arrest coming down of the CIA, big purging of the deep state. Supposedly that's on the horizon. And I would say that if Donald Trump wants to remain president of the United States, he's going to have to do something soon. Cause I'm going to show you something else that's going on here. I want to try to set something up with you this morning. Anybody have anything for the good of the group here before we dive into it? Morning, Lexi. Thanks for tuning in again today. Raise you up, help you become a leader in your generation, man. We sure need it. Anybody good of the group want to jump in here? Why may we got today? We're rolling at, about 14 people. Come on, some of you jump in here. Anybody? I got stuff to pour on you. Don't worry. I'm just asking. Anybody?
Yeah, just real quick. You know, where was George Herbert Walker Bush? You know where he was. He was at Gilead.
We know where he was. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
In fact, Vince, he's one of the few guys in America that can't tell you where he was the day that Kennedy was killed. They ask him that, and he couldn't remember. He couldn't remember anybody else. We all remember where we were that day. I mean, I can remember exactly where I was that day. And he told the investigators he couldn't remember where he was that day.
Hey, Dave, it was even worse. He tried to pawn it off on some functionary named George Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He did. The deep state is the deep state. And as the farther we get away from history and the way we, when we look back on it, you know, George H.W. Bush was the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. See, we forget that. He was the head of the deep state. He was the head of the swamp before he became president of the United States. And they say that Ronald Reagan was forced after the convention or before the convention was forced to take George Bush as his running mate. It was a deal that they struck. And then isn't it funny, you know, how much later was it that they tried to kill Kennedy? And if they tried to, I'm sorry, Reagan. And if Reagan had been killed, who would have become president of the United States? Yeah, it's, you know, that's where tinfoil hats get formed. And there are a lot of tinfoil hats. But guys, listen, let us never, ever forget this. The only thing that separates good from evil, the only thing that can restrain evil is the Holy Spirit. And if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, if you just happen to have a form of godliness, if you just have a religion, if you were raised a Methodist or an Episcopal or Presbyterian, I don't care what you were, any of us, whatever our faith was, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk about that this morning, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're just part of a club. Or as Larry calls them, satanic social clubs, I think Larry calls them. And that's where I think many people are sitting in the church. Did you guys see that David Brooks, one of those guys came out yesterday and said anybody who supported Judge Roy Moore was a heretic. David Brooks is a commentator, is on MSNBC or something. And anybody who supported Judge Roy Moore is a heretic because it goes against the faith. Now, see, this is where we are. I don't know David Brooks. I think it was him. He probably goes to church, doesn't he? He probably goes to the Church of the Chosen Frozen someplace. Well, I promise you, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him. And so we send guys to Washington, D.C. who are churchgoers, but they have no restraining power on the Holy Spirit. Jim Jordan, you guys know Jim Jordan from here in Ohio? He's one of the real fighters. I don't know for sure, but I bet Jim Jordan's filled with the Holy Spirit. I bet you anything he is. I bet you Judge Roy Moore is filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Rod.
Real quick on the Bushes. First of all, I think Jordan's a good guy, but we can't forget the Bushes got their wealth from Saudi Arabia. It is a fact. They are worth hundreds of millions of dollars because of deals with the Saudis. And it is a fact that most terrorist flowing money comes from the Saudi families.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stop thinking that the Bushes are good people. They are not.
Well, first of all, Roger, the scriptures tell us there's none righteous, no, not one. And if George Bush, I'm just, listen now, come on, let's just get down to the nitty gritty here. If you are in a position of power in the United States of America, and you go against your conscience, the Holy Spirit, I question your salvation. Remember that says that there's only one sin that will not be forgiven. Does anybody know what that is? It's, of course, the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Hey, Jared, there's a great, go to the dictionary real quick. Jared, what does it mean to blaspheme? Blaspheme. See, listen, guys, I don't know if you know this or not. I watch Judge Moore, and it's almost like he can't lie. He can't lie. He's uncomfortable. I think anybody's filled with the Holy Ghost, anyone who has the Holy Spirit, can't lie. And maintain a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, I am so glad that you brought this up this morning. I have been waiting a year for this to come up. The blaspheming the Holy Spirit that you speak of and the context that you applied it in is so spot on. But what is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit? You can buy 15 different books about it, and there'll be 20 different things that it is in those 15 different books. But when you remember, I shared a long time ago that once analytical geometry clicked in my brain, it changed the whole way I looked at the Bible, because I realized that truth was truth. And if there was something true in the Bible, then the rest of the Bible had to line up with it, or the Bible itself was flawed.
Yes, sir.
Well, when Jesus said there's only one thing, there's only one sin that will not be forgiven man, he either meant it and it was true, or he didn't and he was just blowing smoke. Mm-hmm. One of the two. Now, I kind of think he meant it and it was truth. Now, therefore, when you find one thing in context, in the Word of God, in the Bible, that specifically states, for this, there is no more repentance, okay? For this, you can't repent of again. Doesn't say you can't repent the first time, but you can't repent again, okay? Then that thing that the Bible speaks of has to be, it must be, the definition of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, or else what Jesus said was a lie. You understand the logic there?
I do. Yes, I do. Sure.
Okay. So when I don't need to go into it, but it gives me the opportunity to share with y'all, you guys, and the rest of the people listening. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 and look at verses 4 and through 6. Verses 4 through 6 of Hebrews chapter 6, and that must be, logically, it must be the very definition of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And actually, it really makes sense when you look at Jesus' statement that it's called blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because that's 4 through 6. It explains what happens when somebody turns their back on the Holy Ghost operating in their lives.
Hebrews 4, verses 4.
Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6.
I'm sorry. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6 says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened." Listen. So George Bush says he was born again and does all this stuff. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, to have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Is that where you are, Larry?
Yeah, if that isn't the definition of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, I don't know what is. First of all, logically, it has to be. Second of all, the context of it fits exactly what Jesus said.
So it's impossible if you once have received the Holy Spirit and been enlightened, tasted that heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of God, if you fall away, once saved, always saved, huh, Larry?
That's
to renew them again under repentance.
You got to read it for what it says.
Seeing that if they do that, they crucify themselves, the Son of God, again, and put him to open shame. So blaspheme, let me continue the pattern here. Jared, go back to blasphemy again then. Because where does it say that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall never be forgiven? That's somewhere in the scripture. But here's what blasphemy is. It's the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. Just understand that. But see, we don't know who the Holy Spirit is, which I'm going to get into today. If we understand who the Holy Spirit is, then blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is going to make sense. And it's going to line up with exactly what Larry just told us. That when you reject the truth of God, when you reject the truth of God, what does it say? The act of it, you are insulting and showing contempt or lack of reverence. When the truth of God comes to you and you know it's the truth of God and you reject it, that's blasphemy. According to what I'm reading. Does anybody think I'm making this up here? I'm rejecting it. B says the act of claiming the attributes of a deity. Yeah, maybe. Number two, irreverence towards something considered sacred or inviolable. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall never be forgiven. What does it mean? Blasphemy? Rejecting it. Insulting it. Showing contempt for it. Shall never. Did anybody find that for me yet where it says it shall never be forgiven? Because I wouldn't. Interesting. Nobody looked for it, probably.
Yeah, Coach, it's Matthew 12:31.
Get that up there for Jess, please. Matthew 12:31?
Yes.
12:31. Going in line with what Larry just said. Matthew 12. Hey guys, isn't this amazing? None of us have a theological degree. I don't have a degree from seminary, but I can read and I can think. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. What's blasphemy? Disrespect, dishonor. All manner of dishonor and respect shall be forgiven unto men. But the dishonor and disrespect against the Holy Ghost shall not be given unto men. So when the Holy Spirit comes to you and speaks to you and commands you and directs you, if you continue to reject that thing, there is, boy, that's pretty hard stuff, isn't it?
Coach,
read the next one. Yeah, read the next.
Now listen. Now I'm not saying to just resist the Holy Spirit, because we all do that sometimes. I say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I heard the Spirit and I didn't do it. That's not blasphemy. Blasphemy was saying, I know what I need to do, and I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And the next verse says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt. And 32. I'm sorry. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Holy smoke. I'm going to get into this here. Okay. I got ahead of myself. Can I go back a second? Jared, hold this a little second. I want to show you what's going on. Say, Coach, how do you know? I just know in my knower. Or whether the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. See, I have a hard time saying that, because most of us say, oh, yeah, so the Lord speaks to you. Well, yeah. Yeah, he does through the Holy Spirit. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. Yes, I hear from the Holy Spirit. You say, Coach, is it audible? No, I don't know. I don't know. No, because the Holy Spirit's spirit. And as much as this might shock you, I'm a spirit. Spirit speaks to spirit. And say, we don't know how that works. But sometimes the Holy Spirit just asks a question, just plants a thought in your head. And that thought guides you into all truth. Isn't that amazing? And say, well, go look here then. Go look here. Go here. See, and a lot of times we think it's just our own logic and our own ability to be smart. Oh, I figured that one out. Well, really? Do you think you did? Or was it a prodding and a leading of the Holy Spirit? So I want to tell you what I think is a prodding and a leading of that the Holy Spirit has given me. And I hear from people say, Coach, you've got to quit speaking damnation. No, I'm trying to show you the enemy's plan. I'm not speaking damnation. I pray against it. I pray against the things that I see, the things that I believe, precatory prayers. I do that. But the fact that I recognize something, like in a football game, if I recognize that they're running off tackle and they're going to cram that ball right down our throat, and I say to our assistant coaches at halftime, they're cramming that thing right down our throat. Doesn't mean I'm giving in. I'm saying they're cramming it down our throat. Let's stop it here, right? So when I bring something to you, say, here's what's really going on. I'm not speaking damnation. I'm trying to show you. Here's the game plan. So here's the game plan. Charlie Rose got hit last night. I'm coming back to the Holy Ghost. Stay with me. Charlie Rose, that 75-year-old freak out hitting on young women. Oh, allegedly. Give him the benefit of the doubt. So we got Charlie Rose. We got Al Franken. We got Kevin Spacey. I don't think I've ever seen one thing Kevin Spacey has been in. I couldn't tell you. I know his face, but I've never seen Kevin Spacey act. To my knowledge, I've never seen him act. So, right? JD or something else, other guy, and Hy-Vee Wienerstein, and on and on. All these guys. Now four new charges coming out against Bubba. Did you guys see that? Four new charges coming out against Bubba. And everywhere you look, what's going on? So listen, I want to connect two dots for you today, and then I'm going to take you somewhere. Dot number one. the worst thing that you can do in America, the worst thing you can do in a woman in America is be disrespectful to a woman. Something wrong with us, isn't it, fellas? No, I'm not. I don't respect. I'm respectful to women, but I got to tell you something. That ain't. Do you have any idea how many of these guys who are being disrespectful to women are robbing and stealing and conniving and undermining and everything else? They're doing things that are far worse than grabbing some lady by the butt. But can you see how the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of religion has now put itself high above everything else? And man, oh man, if you grabbed a woman, it is over for you now. You would be better off having burned down 10 houses. You would be better off having robbed some old lady. You'd be better off doing it. Oh, but you, oh, you mistreated a woman. You see this, guys? You see the spiritual component that's at work here? There is nothing that I have ever seen in my lifetime that is so immediately death than a history of being disrespectful to women. Anybody have a reason why that is? Let the Holy Spirit talk to you right now. Why is that? Why has that been elevated to the front page of Drudge? I get up every morning and I look at Drudge to see what woman accused who today, because as soon as that accusation comes, career's over. Career's over. And somebody help me? See, listen, if they brought up accusations that Judge Moore was going out on his wife, he would have a better chance of surviving that adultery than the fact that he dinkled a dankle 40 years ago. He would have a better chance of that than if he had robbed the treasury 20 years ago. If he robbed the treasury, he'd have a better chance. Anybody know what that spirit is? Just curious, asking out. Anybody have a comment on that? Why that has become the unpardonable, unforgivable sin? Being rude to
a coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I think part of it is the political correctness, which back in the 1930s through the Frankfurt School over here, and I think we're seeing the culmination of a lot of that type of thought that has infiltrated our major institutions and now the church. And as a people, we've given into it. There's very few that will stand up and they won't use those politically correct terms and put up with it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Yes, Jared.
I think it's men have a misunderstanding, or Christians have a misunderstanding of the word equality. We don't understand. Mm-hmm. We don't understand what leadership means. We don't understand what responsibility means. Like, it means you make judgments and you maintain order and you punish, and that women are not men, and that you can treat women differently than you might treat men because they're women and you're a man, mm-hmm. and you're different and you value different things. Women do not value the same things men value.
That's right. And you not valuing the same thing women value doesn't make you disrespectful. That's not a sign of disrespect.
I think, Coach, that from the beginning, the serpent seed of man trod underfoot. I think in the beginning, in the garden, Eve was chosen by Satan to tempt.
Mm-hmm.
I think females were where our heart is as a society, as man. They were given to us to protect. So without discernment or morality, if we see women or children hurting, we automatically react, even though it may not be a godly reaction. And Adam was there in the garden when Eve was tempted and fell. What did he react? How did he react when she betrayed God's word? I mean, he ate the apple too.
Right.
So I think it all goes back to the way Satan is using our love, our lust for women, our hope. I don't know. It's all about PC too in the modern times. But
I believe it's this, Mark. And I think you're just kind of nibbling around the edges. I think you're right. You're nibbling around the edges.
The Catholic Church.
It's about the destruction of manhood. It's about the destruction of manhood. All right? Listen, there is something innate in all of us that in a man that puts a man on the prowl. You all know what I'm talking about. Come on now. You all know what I'm talking about. Whatever it is, however a man flirts, the things that we used to do 50 years ago that were considered okay now are no longer considered okay. All of morality has now changed. All of it has now changed. And the fact that 40 years ago, let's use me 40 years ago, the behavior that I may have demonstrated 40 years ago, number one, I was unsaved, but 40 years ago, you couldn't get away with that today. You couldn't get away with it today. And so under that has become the subjugation of manhood. I think that's the number one thing. Man was created in the image of God. And so therefore Jezebel wants to exalt herself above God, above man. And that's the battle that's raging. In my opinion, that's the battle that's going on. Robert says, calls everything bad in the USA is a white man's fault. I mean, hey guys, some of you out there work for a woman. Some of you ever been disrespected by a woman? You ever? And come help me out here. Wouldn't it be almost justified to go complain to somebody that a woman mistreated you? Same thing in women's athletics. That see people say, you ever had a girl play on your football team? I said, no, I didn't. But nothing. There could be nothing more disrespectful to a boy than have to tackle a girl. That's still inside all of us. See? And so boys, men don't know how to fight back against feminine. We don't know how to fight back against them. And Jared's on to it, but Jared's going to have a rough time because what Jared is saying, the world rejects that we have certain rules that we're supposed to play.
Does anyone subscribe to Satan being female? There's a lot of theories coming out now. This is he's using his relationship with females specifically to have this long-term game.
I don't know, Mark. I think part of it is the curse. The man, Adam really wasn't much of a man. Adam let this dude come on, man or woman, come and hit on his wife. Didn't say anything about it. He didn't stand up and be a man even right at the beginning. I think there's a lot of that. I don't want to, folks, listen, I'm not trying to over social analyze. Okay. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you to see because I've got something else to share with you. Listen, an accusation of sexual harassment of a woman by a man is the death penalty. It just is. We're seeing it. Are there any sexual harassment accusations by a man of a woman? Has any man anywhere in the workforce been sexually harassed by a boss, a lady boss? And I would say there's probably millions of them, but no man in his right mind is going to complain about a woman having taken advantage of him. That's just about as unmanly as it can be. However, it's unmanly to let a woman take advantage of him. So which is worse, letting a woman take advantage of you or being silent about a woman having taken advantage of. And we live in a culture and a society today where men are not allowed to speak up in regard to those issues, right? Call me a Neanderthal. I'll say the exact same thing. If I call the cops, if somebody's breaking into my house and I call the cops, I want some big fat guy with a big gun and a donut come to my house. I don't want some 5'2" girl coming. Does that make me backwards? Does that make me sexist? To me, that makes me smart. That makes me a lot smarter. I want some big, strong dude coming, not some girl.
Hey,
yeah.
I was in the Navy when Clinton let women on combatant ships, and they were on fire teams. And some of the stuff we had to do is pull people through manhole covers in the ceiling, up a ladder. Now, who do you want pulling you out of a fire?
That's right.
On a boat, through a hole in the ceiling. We had to do this stuff.
Right.
So it totally changed the way we operated as a Navy.
It's a double standard. Standard, right? Now, guys, I'm going to tell you this here. You hear me? If you can't control your libido, you're not really a man. See, you're only a man when you can control it. And otherwise, you're a beast. And women are so sexualized. Our society is so, women dress so suggestively that if you take the bait and say anything to them, It's a crazy time. So let me tell you where it's going, okay? Because I really have something else I want to get to. All these lefties that are being thrown into the fire, all of them being thrown into the fire. And I get on Facebook and I read and people are saying, yeah, get Weinstein. Yeah, get Spacey. Yeah, get them. I said, oh, no. First of all, the best insurance Judge Moore has that he's going to get into the Senate is if Al Franken's still there. If Al Franken is still in the Senate, they can't say a thing about Judge Moore. You with me? But understand this, boys and girls. It's Trump they want. It's Donald Trump they want. And after they throw a few more here on the bonfire, a few more lefties, Charlie Rose and Sister Rose and all the other Roses, they're going to throw them all on the bonfire for sexual harassment. Out of the woodwork are going to come the women who Donald Trump did it to 30 years ago or 10 years ago. You watch. And then they're setting a precedent. Oh, we have to impeach him. We have to get him out of there. Look, we did it to Charlie Rose, and we did it to Whiny Wiener, and we did it to Spacey, and we did it to Franken. Why, hey, he's got to go to impeachment charge. See where this is going?
Coach, it's already happening. It took a week. It took a week after the Roy Moore allegations and Al Franken it's already happening. It's all over. What? Every leftist news organization, it's all they're writing now.
Is that right? Well, then there you go.
Hey, guys.
Because you know, as sure as I'm here, some woman's going to come out. 100 women, 20 women are going to come out of the woodwork and say, Trump did this, and Trump did this. And then they're going to turn to the conservatives and say, well, we punished our guys. What about you guys? Make them live up to their own standards. Remember? Go, Vince.
Hey, Coach, you know what it is? They're trying to reframe the narrative still at this point in time. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The whole point is that we have actual abusers. They're still trying to turn it back to the tape again. It's just nonsense.
But Vince, listen to me, folks. Hear me. Mistreatment of women is not disqualification from office. That is not a disqualification from office. Mistreatment of women is not a disqualification from office. Yes, that's they're right. Making that, see? You understand that? Look what Hillary did. And it's not a disqualification from office, what she did. Look what Bill Clinton did. And see, they're sucking their thumbs on that one because now they realize, oh, man, we gave Bill a pass. Oh, no. So now they're going to get him this time. They're going to get him with four new accusations. So they clean the ledger, see? Don't be ignorant of his devices because I'm telling you, Trump better move fast. He better move fast. And I think he's a lot smarter than what we think he is.
He is. He's listening. He listened to me. I texted him this. I said, never telegraph. Don't do what Kennedy did. Don't telegraph. He's going to get rid of the bloody CIA and then don't do it right at that point. You do what
right.
They is.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I want to comments. That's what I think's going on. And maybe we ought to do a show. And somebody tell me this. Why can I disrespect a man, but I can't disrespect a woman? When's the last guy you saw lost his job for disrespecting a man?
Well, this is easy, Coach, because you can beat the heck out of a man, but you can't beat the heck out of a woman.
Yeah. So we're not really equal, are we? We're not really equal. We're being programmed.
Well, Coach.
And the deep state is setting up Trump because they want him out there. Yeah, Jared.
Just my observation. Women don't want to be respected. They want to be loved. Men want to be respected. I could care less if I'm loved. I want somebody to respect me.
Well, you know that love follows respect. Mm. Right? Love follows respect. You know, sometimes when I get a chance to speak at a church, this happens a lot. And I'm talking about manhood and standing up, being a man, speaking, blah, blah, blah. It's not unusual at all for me to see this in the pew. The woman does that to her husband. Because she knows her man's not man enough. But the man's not man enough because he doesn't know what that means. What does that mean to man up? I'm not allowed to say anything. I'm not allowed to say anything to this Oh, I could tell you some stories about some of the witches I taught school beside. Oh, could I tell you a story?
Hey, huh? Coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say man up. You're going to offend somebody.
Yeah, yeah. That's word. That is probably a caveman word, isn't it? We got to man up. Can I show you something here? Some unbelievable. Jared, pull up that video. This is. I just got to show you this, just because it just made me want to gag. But I want you to show. I want you to see where this whole thing heads, man. Where it's all gone. Sorry, Jared. I'm trying to pull mine up here. It says, Jared. It says Kathy Griffin. I don't know if you guys saw this. This video. Now, I want you to listen. You remember who Kathy Griffin was? First of all, hold it right there. Is she a freak or what? You look at her. Is that a freak? Not only is she a freak, is this woman demonically possessed or what? Remember, she's the one who held the decapitated head of Trump, right? Y'all remember that. Now, I want you to listen. Right-wing watch, I want you to listen closely. And I want you to watch the demons inside this. Well, by the way, somebody asked me this. Hi, sweetie. Charlie Manson's dead. Where'd all those demons go that were in? Oh, I could talk about that. Where'd all those demons go? Because they didn't die, did they? Where are they now? Wow. So here she is. I want you to listen. I'm sorry I'm giving her airtime. Listen to this demon speaking to this woman. Go ahead, Jared.
And I'm doing what I call a State of the Union YouTube video. So I hope you watch this on YouTube. It'll probably be like about 5 minutes. What's the date?
Does she look like a woman to you?
November 18th, 2017. I kind of lose track because I'm on a world tour. All right, so what I want to address today is I'm getting a lot of online hate from trolls who think I've lost my mind. And I'm admitting I lost my mind. So it made me a star in the first place. But I just want to be honest. Like, as far as what we're going through and hoping this is a turning point for feminism and women's equality, pardon me, I just want you to know that at 57, for me, it's not a marathon. It's a sprint. So I don't have a lot of time to be patient. And, you know, I read today that my pal Lena Dunham is sticking up for some male writer that was accused of sexual harassment.
Female.
Jenny Connor, who Judd Apatow handpicked for her, and nobody's ever handpicked anybody for me. You know, I don't know the details, but my first instinct is, girl, that's not helping the movement. And it's a movement. And the sun is coming out of the clouds as I say that. So, you know, don't be too hard on Lena. Don't be too hard on me. And I just want you guys to know I'm fully in the middle of a blacklist. Like, I am in the middle of a Hollywood blacklist. It is real. I am not booked on any talk shows. I'm selling tickets worldwide, which is really hard when you don't have any kind of a television platform and kind of nobody has your back and everyone thinks you're crazy. But a handful of people think I'm kind of on to something. So I just want you guys to know, when I get home, I do not have one single day of paid work in front of me. And people that want me to go back and start in clubs and do 10 minutes again, I don't mean to be an asshole, but no. I'm not going to do that. I've worked way too hard to go back and work for free and do the club scene again because this is some bullshit because I've been blacklisted. So I actually got another fundraising email from the great Norman Lear, and I just had to write back and go, yeah, none of you can ask me for money anymore. Okay, my legal bills are through the roof, obviously, because I'm doing something I really believe in. And I still say the end goal is for younger women and younger LGBT folks or disenfranchised people of any kind can watch me survive and with a sense of humor. So I just want to say, like, I have a show tonight in Vienna. I never thought I'd be able to play Vienna. Every single country I've played, I can't believe that there are hundreds, if not thousands of people that don't even speak English as their first language, as if I do. That's my opener. And I'm very heartened by that. So there is hope out there. There's a lot of forces coming against people like me that are trying to do something. I mean, look at Harvey Weinstein hired Kroll. By the way, Nick Kroll's dad started that company, Nick, so he doesn't have to worry about money. And some company called Black Cube to, like, follow Rose McGowan. So, you know, I'm kind of assuming I'm next. I'm already on the Interpol list and all this other stuff. So I don't want anybody else to have to go through this. So watch me do it, hopefully with aplomb and a sense of humor. And I'm on stage tonight at 8:30. I cannot wait to do my show. I only have 7 more shows left on this tour, and I'm not going to lie. It's going to be hard when I go home and I don't have one show in my future. So, no, I know I'm being an asshole, but no, I don't want to do free shows. I don't want to do someone's 50-person club. I did that for decades. I think I should be able to get my life back. So I know I took a picture that offended a lot of people, but this wall of crap has never fallen on any woman in the history of America like it has on me. So, and by the way, I know about Eartha Kitt, and I very much encourage you to look her up. But even Eartha Kitt...
Okay, Jared, you can shut that off. You can shut that off. Is that unbelievable? I think we ought to go back and tally up how many times she said I. Now, does anybody out there think this girl's on welfare?
She's got Obama.
What's that?
She's got Obama beat as far as the self-references.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. And see, listen, don't miss the point. She's at the heart of what this whole battle is about. Women, 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 women. You know, any male that this has ever happened to, any man, yeah, I could rattle off 500 of them probably that this has happened to. But see, guys, this is the spirit. This is the spirit of the age. This is not even, I'm telling you, this is not a normal human being that you're listening to. Look at her. Look at her. These are the influencers. These are the ones who've come in and have captured the minds of our children, the media and entertainment. She thinks it's her right now for people to want to listen to her. Okay, we can cut that. Anybody comment on that? Crazy, isn't it? See, she doesn't. It's like the NFL. The NFL. One of those guys on ESPN came out and criticized Trump for starting this fight with the NFL. Criticized Trump for starting the fight. See, guys, there's just deflect, deflect, deflect. It's the spirit of the age. Anybody else in here? Because I got one other thing I want to show you here. Hey, guys, listen. Don't miss tomorrow. I know I say that. Tomorrow I'm doing some. I was going to do part of it this morning, but we're running a little bit shy on time here. I'm going to do a teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about this before I go to the next thing I want to show you here. When's the last time you heard that? In your church, a teaching on the Holy Spirit, who's a he, not an it. It's a he, the person, the Holy Spirit. We hear about Jesus. We hear about God. And we hear about the Holy Spirit when he comes in and makes people roll on the floor and bark like dogs. We hear about him then. And we hear about him when we twirl around. Oh, our church is spirit filled. We have so prostituted the Holy Spirit. We don't even understand. So I'm going to do a little teaching on it tomorrow. I think you'll enjoy. So, we need.
Hey, Coach, I don't mean to interject. I don't mean to interject, but brother, that just gave me goosebumps because, brother, I started 3 weeks ago on the teaching of the he of the Holy Spirit, brother. Mm-hmm. And I just confirm and bear witness with that, brother, that there's got to be a clarity and a true, full spiritual understanding. Here's a little caveat. 188 times is the Spirit of God mentioned in the Bible. 88 of those times where it's identified as the Holy Spirit, it's all New Testament, brother. It's a new level. Mm-hmm. It's a higher game.
Woo! I got goosebumps on that one, huh? Wow. Wow. And because we don't understand, wow, still goosebumps. Because we don't understand the, ooh, another one.
Let me share something with you that, you know, you say God speaks to you and he speaks to me too. Now this wasn't audible, but it was to my spirit. I was mowing my lawn one day about 20 years ago and God said, Larry, I just want you to know there's a whole lot of things calling themselves churches that claim to be spirit filled. But I want you to know that no church is spirit-filled unless it is first spirit-led.
Well, Larry, well said, but how about this one? We're the church. There ain't no such thing as a spirit-filled building that you go to. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are. And I'm spirit-filled. I don't want to get on it. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. It's going to be good. So sharpen your swords there, Dale and Larry and anybody else that's going to. Guys, if we don't get this one right, if we don't understand the workings and the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, if we don't understand that, guys, America is filled. Our pulpits are filled. Our churches are filled. Our government is filled with people who are Christians who have no understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not an expert, all right? But I know somebody who can guide me into all truth. And I know the workings of the Holy Spirit in my own life. That when I am around other Christians, I cannot believe what they hear, what they say, and what they think. And I just say, you know what? They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They could not possibly. There's a guy on Facebook. I have a Facebook friend. He's Catholic. He's a Facebook friend. And he is so kind and loving and merciful and tenderhearted and loves Hillary Clinton. Now, guys, can somebody explain how that could possibly even be true? Other than it's emotion-based, not Holy Spirit-based. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you can't see that Hillary Clinton is dead evil, how do I help you? How can I help you? If you can't see that, well, there are a lot of people sitting in the church who don't understand the Holy Spirit, aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, and don't get it. Man, I'm sorry. I got 14 minutes. Okay, well, cool. Tomorrow we'll dive into that thing. I'll have those ready for you tomorrow. I got that there with the. Hey, Jared, I want you to let's go down to it says witness. I'm doing some research. I shared this, guys. I shared this. Is that what I pulled up there, Jared? Yeah. Okay. Good. Just stay right there a second, Jared. The Lord gave me this. The Holy Spirit gave me this when I was in Texas, Chad. This kind of came out of nowhere. I'm about ready to blow you away. Are you ready? I'm still doing some research, but I'm going to give you a little bit of the nugget. I want you to think about it. Hey, Jared, take that off the screen right now, because I don't want to marine while I'm saying this. I'm sorry. I want him to catch this. we were talking about witness. You shall be my witnesses into Jerusalem, Judea, and to the othermost parts of the earth. That's what Jesus said. And we hear about people who are witnesses, a witness to a crime, witness, witness, witness. And we don't really understand that the Holy Spirit gave me this. And then document it, okay? That witness. And how do I want to do this, Lord? Witnesses, the word witness, the exegesis of the word witness, I don't even know if that's right. I just used that big word because I heard seminarians use it. The origin of the word witness comes out of martyr. Martyr. When Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, he says, you will be my martyrs. You'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, and all the other most parts of the earth. And let me give you the spiritual significance to this. In Old Testament times, let me go back beyond that. Roman times, although I could be wrong, still doing some research on it. Guys, are you ready? A testimony, the word testimony, derives itself from the term testicle. That when a issue arose between two people without any witnesses, one of the ways that they determined the guilt or innocence or the validity of the debate was they tied a rope around the testicles of the two people involved. By applying pressure, one of them would eventually break, which led to their death. So in the origin of the word witness and testimony comes from testes, testicle, testify, came the idea that you were laying your life on the line with what you were getting ready to say. It was a life or death situation. And in fact, in Mosaic law, in Old Testament law, it was a crime, a sin and a crime to bring a charge without other witnesses. If you just brought a charge against somebody, you were assassinating that person's character. If you didn't have any evidence other than you saying it, the charge was ignored and you were the one that paid the price. Now hang with me. But the Mosaic law also said this, that if you, Joe makes an accusation against here, hey, this lady makes an accusation against Judge Moore. If she has no other witnesses, she can't even make it. It's a crime for her to make it. However, if you were a witness, today in America, we say, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved with it. I just want to stay out of it. No. No, back in the Mosaic law, if you were a witness and had evidence, you were demanded by law to step forward. And you knew not only did you have to step forward and bear what? Testimony. You were required by law to bear testimony to the truth. They found out later that in this case, you knew information regarding the case and did not step forward and bear testimony on one side or the other, you were charged with a crime. That the only way that the justice system could possibly work was that anyone under the threat of martyrdom was required to tell what they knew. Is that unbelievable? Jared, pull that up there. I found this. This all came to me when we were down in Dallas or Temple, wherever the heck we were. Look at this. This is from, I don't even know how I found it. Easton's Bible Dictionary. Witness. What does it say? Let's follow down through some of this here. More than one witness was required in all criminal cases. Deuteronomy. They were the first to execute the sentence on the condemned. In other words, if I was a witness, if Judge Moore was found guilty, you ready for this? The witnesses testifying against him had to throw the first stone. They had to be involved in actually executing the justice upon the one. They had to be so deeply honest and involved that they took the stone themselves and threw the first stone. Is that something? Huh? They were the first to execute the sentence on the condemned. False witnesses were liable to punishment. It was an offense to refuse to bear witness. If you knew and you didn't testify one way or the other and they found out. Keep going down, Jared. Is this unbelievable? Among people with whom writing is not common, the evidence of transaction is given by some tangible moment or significant ceremony. Abraham gave 7 ewe lambs to Abimelech as an evidence of the property in the well of Beersheba. Jacob raised a heap of stones, the heap of a witness, as a boundary mark between himself and Laban. The tribes of Reuben and Gad raised an altar as a witness to the covenant between themselves. You always need a witness! You always need a witness! Divorce was to be proven by a written document. In all civil contracts, at least in later times, documented evidence was required and carefully prepared. 2 witnesses at least are required to establish any charge. In the case of the suspected wife, evidence besides the husband's was desired. The witness who withheld the truth was censured. The witness who withheld the truth was censured. False witnesses were punished with a penalty due to the offense which was sought to be established. Slanderous reports and official witnesses are discouraged. The witnesses were the first executioners. In case of an animal left in charge and torn by wild beasts, the keeper was to bring the carcass and proof of the fact and the disproof of his own criminality. According to Josephus, women and slaves were not admitted to bear witness in testimony. Women and slaves could not bear testimony. In the New Testament, the origination of witness is exhibited in a special form of one who attests his belief in the gospel by personal suffering. Hence, it is that the use of the ecclesiastical term martyr came from the Greek word witness. Is this unbelievable? Is it unbelievable? To see how damaging, see, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, how damaging false witnessing can be. And through Mosaic law, if it was just the woman making a charge against the man, it was a crime for her to do that. Because how do you defend yourself? How do you defend yourself in a he said, she said? And along the same lines, if the woman made the charge and somebody had evidence to substantiate it, they were required by law to present the evidence. Is that something? So, man's word is his bond, right? Jared, scroll down a little bit. I don't know if there's another thing in here I wanted to show you or not on this whole thing. About out of time. Oh, boy. The word witness is used of inanimate things. A heap of stones testifying to come. Mosaic law insisted on the absolute necessity of witnesses in all cases which came before a judge, especially in criminal cases. Not only in criminal cases, but in cases it was necessary to have at least two witnesses to make good an accusation against any person. According to the Talmud, if in a case of immorality only one witness came forward to accuse anyone, it was regarded as sinful on part of the witness. On the other hand, anyone who, being present at the adjuration, refused to come forward as a witness, which he had best testimony to bear, was considered of sin. No oath was required. Look at the last paragraph. No oath was required from witnesses. The meaning of Leviticus 5 was not that witnesses had to take an oath, as some think. It describes a solemn adjuration of the judge to all those who, with knowledge of the case, come forward as witnesses. Why? Because if they came forward and they lied, it was a death penalty to them. Oh, my.
Wait, with this system, why, right?
What's that, Vince?
And we did away with this system for what reason?
For what reason? What reason did we? And now we have people just making accusations left and right, and boys and girls, the church saying the judge should step down. We've got Christians saying the judge should step down. Why? Because they've been programmed. We've been programmed by this anti-Christ, anti-God, governmental legal system around us. That the law means nothing. Hey, boys, I don't know about you. They put one of those ropes around my sweet spot, I'd be very careful about what I was going to say. I don't know about you guys. That'd bring a little pressure to bear, if you know what I mean. Testimony. Testify. Oh, man. I'm not out of time here. Somebody jump in here and save me. Save me from this X-rated teaching we've done here today.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach. You know, we as a nation and our education system has done a masterful job. We've lost our ability, most people, to critically think.
Mm-hmm.
They can't think through something. You know, just take the Judge Roy Moore case. If he wasn't running for the Senate and there wasn't so much at stake, would this stuff even be coming out against him? And people can't take things to a logical conclusion. So I encourage people to teach other people how to critically think.
Hey, George, how about this right here? Amen. The Sadducees held that only when the falsely accused had been executed, the false witness also had to be put to death. That gets you telling the truth, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
That'll get you telling the truth. Huh?
Yeah. Yep.
So what do they do in law school today, Dale? Well, we know what they do in law school today. Oh. They teach you to lie. Don't
That's
they, Roger?
Right.
They teach you how to lie. They teach you how to destroy the truth. To poke holes in the truth.
Our founding fathers believed, and the people of that day believed, to dare lie in the court of law and of oath, because they believe it was the God of law, of nature's God, was the same thing that Ananias and Sapphira succumbed to in the book of Acts, which was that they lied to the Holy Spirit. And those men carried their dead bodies out. And that's the way our country was founded. We have no fear of God. We don't fear that God would strike a person down anymore.
I swear that the testimony about the gift shall be the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Yeah, because your life was on the line if you were lying. Your stinking life was on the line because you were a witness bearing testicle to the truth.
But you know what it is?
It's because
we have a criminal justice system now, not a real justice system.
Vince, man, a lot of places to go. Hey, I want to ask you this. I don't know how old you are. You ever heard this from anybody, anywhere? I don't think you have. God bless you. I'll be here tomorrow, and I ain't lying. We'll see you then.